Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's PROMESCENT.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, Deputy Jamie and I reflect on the best of sex this past year and answer your questions. Topics include prioritizing your sex life for enhanced intimacy, why looking at lesbian porn doesn't mean you're a lesbian, how long the sexual afterglow actually lasts, and why it can make your relationship even stronger, and the right way to surprise your partner with just the kind of sexy kink they're looking for. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com because it's a good time there. All of our podcasts are there. We're always adding new blogs and all things sex, relationship, intimacy, dating. If you have a question about it, you've thought about it, I'm sure there is a blog about it on our website. And you should also follow us on social media because that is a good time. It's at Sex with Emily, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. Check it all out. Oh, happy holidays, everyone. It's almost, hope you all had a great holiday. It's almost the new year. I am here with my deputy, Jamie.
Hello.
My deputy of hipness, coolness, sex, goddess, Jamie.
I just like being a deputy.
She just wants to be deputy.
I do.
She's everything. She does a lot here. Jamie's been here for... 3 years?
Two years.
Feels like six.
2 years and some change.
I love Jamie. Jamie's been on the show with me a bunch. She's responsible for a lot of the amazing content you see everywhere. That's Sex with Emily. So, Jamie, thank you for all your hard work and efforts. She's blossomed before my eyes. She's been here for 2 years, and she started as a little intern. She was so cute.
So sweet.
Now she's all grown up, taking over things. So, Jamie, I'm glad you're here with me today because it's coming towards the end of the year, and it's been a big year for, I think, for everybody.
Yeah.
And specifically for sex and relationships. And I thought we could kind of do an end of year roundup real quick and then answer some emails, help the people here.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally down.
Talk about some resolutions going forward. Because it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm not like a lot of people, the holidays are an interesting time. I think there's a lot of people who get more, you know, emotional or sad over the holidays. It can be, you know, hard being away with family and all that stuff. I don't really have that as much as I do. The end of year makes me just, I really do make an effort to think about, and hopefully not in too much of a heavy way. It's not that it's, I really do make an effort to kind of look at the last year and take inventory of like what happened this year. Because a lot of times we're all going so fast, especially you see me.
Oh, yeah.
It's fast. There's a lot. And
you're
I'm
moving
like,
constantly.
I know. I even come in the office and move. I'm like, I'll be at this desk. I'm going to go to this desk. But life is fast. And I was like, so I'd like to reflect and think like, well, what happened this year? What were, you know, some good things that happened that I'm really proud of? And that makes me, you know, who did I meet? Who came into my life personally and professionally? What goals have I met? What have I moved through? You know, it's just sometimes you can just think about things that aren't so great in your life. It's really easy to go into that zone of like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I think a lot of us do that. But when you have a whole year to look back, you can go, okay, you know, and hopefully you're always kind to yourself and say, I did the best I could with what was going on in my life. So I try to do that. And I think, okay, but in a year from now or in the next year, what are the things that would be great to see in place, you know, personally, professionally, spiritually, health-wise, you know, and I kind of do this inventory and I like write a bunch of stuff on the wall, like I like to do, like those big stickies. And so anyway, as I was thinking about it, I think a lot of our listeners are probably thinking about that as well. Like what, you know, I hope you are. And I hope, and I'd like to kind of plant the seed nugget in your brain, if you will.
Yes.
The sex nugget. Did I say seed nugget?
Seed nugget, sex nugget.
I want to plant the, I'd like to plant the sex nugget in your brain. Thinking about, when you're thinking about all those things, like maybe you people like join a gym in January, they want to quit smoking. But I think it's important to think about, of course, sex. Always prioritize it. But this would be a great time to think, do I want to be having what kind of sex? Are there fantasies I haven't filled yet? If you're in a relationship, how could you strengthen that bond, the intimacy? If you're dating, how could you have better sex like while dating, which I know is a challenge. We're going to get into that in a minute. So let's talk about some of these things.
And I think you're right though too, is that a lot of people, especially people that get into relationships, but or even if you're single, they don't really think about ways to improve their sex life. They just treat each new partner, each new thing, like if you're single, they treat each new partner as like a new thing, and they don't really think about like, well, what could I do to make sure that this is good sex or better sex? And then people in relationships just fall into a routine and they know that they're gonna have sex, but then that's why things start to get stale, because you got to change things up. You got to really think about it. What made your best sex moments the best? Oh, it made your bad sex moments bad. Like, right. Think about why these things made you feel this
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Like, I love that. I mean, so we were thinking that, hold on.
Right, we're both coughing.
I know. But I was going to say the bad, so yeah. What were you saying? Yeah. Yeah. So was that a good bad into the good thing? Hold on. Well, I was going to say, wait. So, right. Like what was the bad and what was the good, or what was the most pleasing sex and not pleasing sex? It's funny because I was thinking about the shows we did with the guys talk sex show, mm-hmm. which is so fun. And I remember asking those guys and I was like, well, what was the best sex you ever had? I love asking people that. In fact, that was one of the first questions I used to ask people when I started the show, because I was always like, what does great sex mean to you? I mean, I really was like, when you say you had the best sex, tell me what that means. I was always like, break it down, you know? And so asking, though, it was interesting that those guys were like, you know, the similar thread to all of it was sort of unknown. It wasn't planned. It was spontaneous. Mm-hmm. It was fairly new partners, alcohol involved. It was kind of spontaneous sex. And I thought, it's interesting because a lot of what we talk about is keeping sex great in a relationship is you got to bring that spontaneity back and that newness. And so I thought that was interesting though. But I also think it changes over time. So the guys were in mm-hmm. their 20s. I wonder if they have the same answer 10 years from now. And so when I think about it, like some memorable sex, you know, might not be the kind of sex that I would want to have now, for example. What would be great sex to me? So a good question to ask yourself is,
what was the best sex I had this year?
Mm-hmm.
And what would I want to see happen, you know, in the future? What was the worst sex? So I was thinking about, we could highlight perhaps our, I'd like to, should we get into that now?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's, I agree. I think it's like people tend to think of the best sex they ever had, but they don't think of this year. Like, think about the year, just the year. Because my best sex ever did not happen this year. But from this year, I can pull out the best sex of this time. If you focus on stuff like 7 years ago, that was the best sex, you might even try to reenact that, but it might not even be the best for you anymore because it was 7 years ago. But
exactly.
If you think about something in a year, it kind of makes it a little more tangible.
Right. It's a little more anecdotal, maybe, when you look back on stories like from years ago. You're like, oh, it was really fun. It was crazy. We were at this, you know, rooftop party. We had sex outside, or whatever your great sex was. And as you know, being a sex and relationship expert, I think people assume I always have amazing sex. And I'm going to come clean here and tell you that I don't always have amazing sex. I do my best to make it better. But if I think about my high and low this year, we're talking about this year, I did. I had some sex that was just not great. And then I had some amazing sex.
So what was your best sex?
Should we start with the best?
Let's start with the best and then we'll contrast okay. it.
My best sex this year, a really memorable sex. Oh, it kind of had all the elements we're talking about. My best sex was at Wanderlust. You have to come next year. Wanderlust was that really cool festival I did in Tahoe this summer. And I talked for 2 days about sex. And it's like a huge yoga festival. And they do it in like a bunch of different exotic cities. And it's just a lot of people running around like scantily clad doing yoga. And like a lot of healthy, happy people, obviously. They're doing yoga all day. And I actually did the one sex track. So I did 2 days of sex. And it was really, it was intense. Like, you were not there, unfortunately. We had Lark there and we had Ken that came in from Jersey, part of our team, Lark, producer Lark. And then my friend Heather, who does some work with us, was there. We rented a house and I was preparing to speak. And it was a lot of work because, of course, I changed my mind at the last minute. We were rewriting it. It was amazing. I loved it. In fact, their talks are going to be on the Wanderlust podcast and we'll promote it in a few months. So it was a grueling week. It was a lot of togetherness with the team. We all bonded. It was great. But also intense. And it was 5 days where I thought I would have time to do yoga and go hiking and do all the beautiful things you do in Tahoe, set at the foot of this amazing mountain. But there was a lot of work. So it went until Sunday. We were there like Wednesday till Sunday. I gave my last talk Sunday at about 2. It was over at 3. And the one thing besides yoga, all the classes were done. But the one thing I wanted to do the whole time was to take the tram to the top of the mountain, and there was a pool party that was going on the whole time.
Oh my God,
at the top
of
the mountain, right? Everyone's like, oh my God, have you been to the pool party? I'm like, I have no time to party. So I looked at Lark. I was like, you know what? We have an hour left till we have to leave and go to our flight. It's open for another hour. I think the pool party went till 4 and it was like 3. I'm like, let's just go for an hour, check out the top of the mountain, have a drink. We've been working our ass off. So we get to the top of the mountain. It's beautiful. Going up, up, up. Have you ever been Tahoe?
Over the mountains. No, I want to go so
bad. And in the summer, it's so beautiful. The gondola. Is it a gondola or a tram? There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit. And so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Both tram, gondola. It's tram, gondola. Huh. So Utah, you go up, it's beautiful. You've been to ski resorts in the...
Yeah, I mean, I've been to like...
I'm wildly gesticulating at you right now. Okay, so I went up the mountain and we get there and it's like, oh, it's so beautiful and the air was perfect. We walk over to the bar and they're like, nope, sorry, we're shut down, party's ending. And I was like, oh, but you don't understand. Like we just got to the top of the mountain and there were still people like scantily clad in the pool and like music. He's like, nope. And I was like, you know me, I was like, come on. Like anything, like I'll pay you. I've got like a dildo. I'm like, I'll give you a vibrator. He's like, nope, no more beer. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, that's fine. And so I sat down with Lark and we're just looking and we're like, oh, it's fine. And then I was like, well, I should get a picture because we hadn't taken many pictures and it was a beautiful view. And Lark's like, well, you should just go over there. And she was exhausted. She'd been on her feet all day. She's like, just walk over there and like take a picture of that cliff. So I walk over to this cliff and of course I'm wearing like 2-inch heels or 3-inch heels. And I'm like trying to get over these rocks to take this beautiful like outlook picture and as an overview picture of the entire city. Mm-hmm. And I walk over and this guy comes up to me, puts his hand, he's like, hi. He's like, wait, can I help you? Where are you going? And I said, he had like a beer in his hand. And I said, give me your beer. I didn't say that, but I thought that. And he's like, let me help you. It. I said, I got to take a really great shot from here because I have no shot since I've been here. And he's like, let me help you. And he like put his hand on me and he guided me and he took a bunch of pictures. And he was just like, I liked him and he was cute. And he was like, what are you doing? I said, I've been working the whole time and I just need a really good picture from here. And I'm leaving in an hour. And he's like, oh. He's like, don't leave. I'm with my buddy and we've got like a party to go to and it's been really fun. And he was really cute. Like I'm like thinking, how am I meeting someone? Like it, literally I think I had walked away from Lark and maybe 15 seconds had gone by and this guy comes up to me. I walk back to see Lark and it turns out our flight ends up being canceled. We go and get, you know, dinner and drinks with him and he's got a really cool friend and we're all hanging out and it just like all fell into place. He was really kind. He was really attentive. He was just like interesting and interested and he's very attractive. And we ended up getting a room, all shared a room. And he was two of my favorite things. He's a trained massage therapist. And
you and the massage therapist.
Dude, that's you're great. Right. You're right. That's my second. You know what?
This is
what? Data massage therapist. But that's not what is his main thing. He did it on the side and he meditates. But he meditates and he's like a healer.
All of those things. Not a hippie though.
And he was so great. And everything I told him, I was like, I like when you touch my shoulder. And then he kept touching it. Or I like when, and I was just very able to communicate with him. And I felt like he understood what my body needed. And I understood what he needed without being able to speak. I instantly felt safe with him and connected in a way that is difficult to explain only when you look at it against like the bad sex of the year. And you're like, oh, I get it. I get it when you're not really connecting. Someone's not listening to you and you're not jiving. So we like had a good energy. We still text. He's not my future, whatever. But it was like this moment of like, and it had those elements. Like we talked about with the guys, it was spontaneous. Mm-hmm. On it, didn't know it was going to happen. Didn't know him. He was kind of a stranger, but felt instantly safe and was like, had amazing hands.
And that doesn't happen all the time.
No. I mean, everything was comfortable. We showered together. And it was a really fun, unexpected evening. So that was my best sex.
Oh, I like that.
It's a good one.
Aw.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Wanderlust. Hopefully we'll run into
you'll come
him
next
again.
Year. Okay. So James, here's how we can kind of learn maybe best and worst. So I would have to say that was my most memorable sex of the year. So if anyone I've slept with this year is listening, you're great too, babe. I can only name one. But I would say the one that I wasn't a huge fan of was a guy that I'd gone out with him a few times, met him through a friend in his 40s, been married before, and it was we got out several times, and it was the classic. We went back to my house after a few dates. We had made out in the car. It was kind of hot. Walk into my house, and he had this expectation that he was just gonna like start with my pants, take them off, and we were gonna have sex. Like it was really like no attention to the breast, not even much time kissing. And he wasn't in a rush. It wasn't like he had to go anywhere. It was a Saturday night, and in my brain, I'm going, how does he not? You know, no, the foreplay, the slow down, the kissing. It occurred to me that this isn't the first guy I've been with, no matter what age, but several in their 30s, 40s that just really don't get it. They don't understand the foreplay. They don't slow down. So I tried, and the moment I stopped, I said, you know what would make me feel more comfortable right now, just so you know, because I stopped it. And he's like, well, what? I said, well, I just feel like we were connecting and we've had a great date and a great few times spending with each other. we've gone out a few times. It's been really fun and it's funny and I love making out with you. And now here we are. And I feel like you've skipped a beat here and it would feel really good just to kind of make out and connect more. And it kind of like...
like went over his head or something?
Yeah. He was like, oh yeah, I know. I just find you attractive. And it wasn't just the sex. It was a few other things at night that made me realize. Probably he also had me watch like his host reel from 20 years ago and like talked about himself the whole time. So there was a few narcissistic traits in there. So there's someone who's actually paying attention and listening. It's not like the other guy was a massage guy was a masterful lover. He's not a masseuse for a living like the other guy, the guy from Mexico.
So he doesn't
But
know.
Do you know what I mean? It's really showed me that like, it's really a matter of paying attention, listening, and being okay that you don't, as a man or woman, that you don't really know everything. And with each partner, it's a new opportunity to learn. Yeah.
And can, pick I, a can yeah. I comment on
Please
that?
Please comment.
How you said for the guy with the bad sex, where he was like, I'm sorry, I get it, but I'm just so attracted to you. It's like, okay, like, while I'm happy that you're attracted to me, and I always love it when I know that a guy is super into me, at the same time, when he says something like that, all it means to me is like, so you just were worried though about you getting off. Like, you're not worried about whether or not what you're doing is going to get me off, because you're just like, oh, I'm just so attracted to you. I just need to get it in right now.
Right.
It's like they kind of see it as a compliment. It's not really a compliment.
It's not.
And it's not him being rude. It's just him being kind of like, he just doesn't know.
Right. That's what's so alarming to me and why I'm more passionate than ever about this. You know, I think a lot of us men and women, we did not really learn at all about how to have sex. So you're absolutely right that there's men, they say things to us like, oh, I've got blue balls, or, you know, or they put your hand on their penis to show you that it's hard. And we already know it. We're making out. Your penis is probably hard. You don't need to show me. Those things that guys do that they think is going to be a turn on to us actually isn't and has nothing to do with us. And I'm going to say men and women get aroused differently. So I will say men, the more that men focus on pleasing their partner, and by that I don't mean like going down on them necessarily, I mean like, what does she need in that moment? How is she reacting? Is she cold? Does she want a kiss? I mean, you can tell or ask. Like, if you are attentive, you're not gonna seem like a wuss. You're gonna seem like a man who knows how to like react to a partner, and then that comes back to you. Like, once a woman like likes you, feels safe, feels like you have her best intentions, you know, it just kind of works. But I think that guys have that mentality by saying these things that like, but I'm so turned on, so you should just have sex with me right now when you are feeling nothing. I'm like, exactly. I didn't even know. I forgot you were here, dude.
No, exactly. And that's just why it's interesting to me, because I mean, I've been in situations where I'm like, can we like slow down a little bit? Or I've even had a guy like, you know, we're having sex and I'm on top and I'm trying to move a certain way and he keeps trying to move me differently. And I'm like, I was like, can we kind of like slow down for a second? Because I realized that this may not be getting you off, but I need more attention to my genital areas.
Do you say that?
I didn't say it exactly like genital that. Areas? But like, I said, I was just like, hey, I was like, hold on, let's slow down. And I had to like keep guiding Good. Him because I was like, hey man, like in my head, I was like, you're going to get off in probably a few minutes. So let me do what I need to do. And then we can do whatever the fuck you want.
Right. Right. Basically. You didn't. Right.
I didn't say it. That's why I said I thought that part. I was very nice in the actual talking.
Of course you were.
I am not.
Of course you were.
I'm only sarcastic. Right. I'm not mean to people.
Right. So yeah, we're going to be talking more about this in the new year. Men and women. Women and men. Women, women, men, men. All of us. We all need a little bit of help understanding each other. So we're going to do that. And speaking of sex, which we always do, sex in the news.
Yay, my favorite part.
Here's how long sexual afterglow actually lasts according to science. I love when it's science. You're like, science says so. We all know that sex is really good for you and can basically double as medicine. And it can also help you sleep better. It relieves stress, keeps your mental health in check. So it's no surprise that an activity as healthy and fun as sex leaves you feeling happy and serene in something commonly known as the sexual afterglow. Turns out that splendid post-coital glow is actually all emotional and comes from the happiness you feel courtesy of the love hormone, oxytocin. We talk about oxytocin a lot. The cuddle hormone, the orgasm hormone. It's that connected hormone that we feel after we have sex, especially with a partner. So in this study, they researched couples having sex and how satisfied they were in their relationship. So the couples reported increased sexual satisfaction on the days they fooled around, but most importantly, they discovered they had higher feelings of intimacy and happiness, aka the afterglow, that lasted, get this, for 2 days after sex, after rolling the hay, it says. Not that I would say rolling the hay, but the study says rolling the hay. So that means it lasts for two days after. That's how long when couples have sex and then connect.
That's great.
It is great. It's better than, like, what other drug? Nothing lasts 2 days. What drug lasts 2 days?
I mean, hopefully, I mean, well, not that I'm advocating drug use, but, you know.
But.
If your drug is lasting longer than 2 days, then there's something probably going very wrong in your body.
But this is right.
But well, this is great because this is natural. Mm-hmm. Natural drugs are great. Natural hormones are great for you. I think it's great too because it kind of works with both sides for the people that have lower libidos in the relationship and for the people that have higher libidos in the relationship. Because the people with lower libidos can say, hey, we don't have to have sex every day. Because the satisfaction, you know, at least every 2 days, you know, or at least every few days. It doesn't have to be like that either. It can just be once a week. But you know what I mean? So it helps them. Yeah. And then it helps the people with the higher libidos to get the people. It's like, you know, we'll be actually closer if we have sex more than once a month.
Exactly. That's the thing. The couples who say like, oh, we don't need it that much. It is the connective tissue. It is the glue that is keeping your relationship together from just being roommates and not being connected. And I think that couples who don't have as much sex, they forget that it actually feels good. And the more you start doing it, they're going to want to have it again. So these couples, you know, they keep it. It's a good reason to keep it going. And I feel like from so many people we hear from and a lot of close personal friends where I happen to know they're like play by play in their relationship for the last 15, 10 years. All my friends who are in healthy relationships, even though there's a lot of times they hate their partners, you know, they say they hate them. Yeah. They love them. And it's when they have sex and they connect again, it brings you back. So afterglow. I'm all about the afterglow.
Yeah. I do want to say, I think my favorite part of this study is that during the 48 hours, like the sperm is at a lower quality. And also the sperm can only survive for 2 days within the female reproductive tract. So it's kind of interesting because it's like that 2 day period just kind of is like, okay, like this is my person. Kind of keeps them, it keeps them connected.
Keeps them bonded. Exactly.
And it's like waiting until like, cause you know, if you go back to like mating to, you know, right. Like having sex for reproduction purposes, it's like, okay, like you're not going to look for another mate for another couple days because the sperm may be inside you and exactly. His sperm is not ready. I just think that was really interesting.
No, it's really true. It's all about like biology and how we mate. God, I love a good sex study here, Jamie. So if there's any incentive, you guys are like, oh, I'm too busy. I ate too much. I'm too full. Busy holidays are too crazy. You should still have sex. You always feel better. Just like the gym. I always say it. I don't think I've said that in a very long time. You never regret going to the gym and you don't regret having consensual sex with someone you love. I don't think you're ever going to be like, right? So do that. Have some afterglow. Yeah. 'Tis the season.
Glow it up.
Thanks everyone for supporting our sponsors. We're going to take a quick break and we are going to answer all of your burning, not medically burning, I hope, but your sex relationship love questions. Right, Jane?
Of course. It's what you do best.
That's what we do. We are back. We're on to emails. If you have a question you want me to answer, you should text me. It's so easy. Text Ask Emily one word to 797979, or you can submit a question from sexwithemily.com, the website, via the Ask Emily tab, and include your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen. You ready, Jamie?
Yes.
Okay. This is from Karen. She's 28 in California. Hi, Emily. Your show has changed my life. I went from a very shy religious girl to a woman learning to embrace my sexuality. I married an older woman when I was very young at 22 and she was 36. We've been married 3 years now, together six. We recently made a major move away from friends and family and started new jobs. At my new job, I've become insanely attracted to a man. I've always considered myself bisexual, but labeled myself as a lesbian to make things easier. My wife and I have had a terrible, non-existent sex life the last few years, and this guy makes me feel brave and sexually alive. I'm scared to leave my boring sex life with someone I truly care for just because there's someone new and exciting. I'm nervous that this is just me rebounding and looking for attention. This man is my first male sexual experience. I'm very confused. Do you think I should embrace this attraction to men or try and save my marriage? Thank you and love you, Emily. That is from Karen. Let's unpack this email here for Karen. So I understand that you guys have been together a while and that, you know, this is what happens in long-term relationships, whether you're gay, straight, sex life is going to wane. So that's going to happen if you guys, you know, I don't know why it's terrible, non-existent. If you guys haven't talked about it, you know, I'm going to say you guys have to talk about it. I also see that you said here that you moved away from friends and family. So perhaps you're a little bit lonely and you're feeling like, you know, you're in a new place and this guy's making you feel kind of, you know, new feelings that you haven't felt in a while. And so there's a lot of different things going on here. I don't think it matters, you know, gay or straight. I feel like your first responsibility is to the woman that you're married to. And so the first thing you have to do is look to repair your relationship and where you guys are at yet. And I'm wondering if you actually have talked to her about the fact that you're dissatisfied or asked why she's not interested in sex, because sex isn't going to fix itself.
It's takes not. Effort. It's not. And like, the thing is too, that you think that this person is okay with the state of your sex life, but if you've never talked about it, maybe they have some, you know, she on her own is not satisfied and there's true. Reasons why she doesn't want to have sex, but you have to really like talk about it and unlock that together. I also think it's interesting that she labeled herself as a lesbian instead of bisexual to make it easier. And I just, you know, if that's the case, have you ever talked with your wife about your bisexuality? Maybe she has no idea.
Right. That's true. I don't even know if she talked about it. You're absolutely right. Like, I don't know if she just labeled it to her or made it, yeah, that one time, like, no, I'm a lesbian. But that's a really good point. And also, you were young, sweetie. Karen, you were 22 when you got together with her. I know that, and I actually need to stop saying young, because when you're 22, you don't feel like you're young. I get it. But that's still a time in your life where you haven't had as much experience. You're still figuring out who you are, what kind of relationship you want to be in. And so I think it's okay that you maybe you thought that would be easier. I get it. But now you've been listening to the show. You said it saved your life and changed your life, and you're opening up about sex. And so I think now the first thing you gotta do is practice talking to her and just saying, I wouldn't bring up the guy. No. I wouldn't bring up the fact that you're attracted to somebody else. She'll never hear what you're saying after that. You know, this happens in all kinds of relationships where our sex life is stale, and then we go on a trip, we go to work, we go on the 7-Eleven, and we meet a guy or a woman and they make us feel great like we haven't felt before.
Yeah. And also, when you're having this conversation, don't play the blame game. Make it a conversation about what you both can do to, instead of being like, I'm unsatisfied and it's your fault kind of a thing.
Yeah. No blaming.
No blaming. Because it's, you know, like I said, there's so much you'd be surprised when you just sit down and talk.
Yeah. In a really like open, like, I'm not sure what to do, babe, but we've been together now 6 years. When we're not having a lot of sex lately. And I think it's really important that we do. Let's talk about it. What do you think is going on? What do I think is going on? Without blaming. It's an open conversation. And it's time to have that right now, Karen. Let me know how it goes. Okay, the next one's Tom. He's 40 from California. Dear Emily, I was hoping you could settle a question of masturbation. Is it good or bad for you? It's hard to separate fact from fiction when reading about this. I've heard many times in your show that self-pleasure increases sex drive, gets you in touch with your body and what feels good. And you should keep masturbating whether you're in a relationship or not. There are other sites that condemn it, saying it's bad, kills your libido, and coupled with watching porn can have an adverse effect on sex drive and sexual health. I'm 40, and I want to keep enjoying sex with my wife and my self-pleasuring sessions for as long as I can. Can you please settle this? Is there even a debate about this? Thanks, Tom, 40, California. Well, Tom, I'm not sure what sites you were looking at, but of course there's debates around everything. And yes, for some people, they masturbate too much. They, you know, meaning that it's, you know, they can only have sex watching porn, or they only want to watch porn and no longer have sex, or when there's consequences for your behavior. Like if you are masturbating so much or watching so much porn that you can no longer have sex with your partner and you can't keep a job down because all you're doing is masturbating, anything taken to the extreme could be problematic. But I don't know where you're reading that masturbation isn't good for you, that it's not healthy. You know, maybe they're talking about ejaculation.
The thing to keep in mind is that masturbation is actually, it is healthy for you. It's going to teach you what you like. It's going to keep that bond you have with yourself. It's really good for, you know, you're a dude and you're 40. It's good for your prostate. You know,
it
really is.
Ejaculation is all of that. Right. And I'm wondering though, here's my question though, Jane, when I'm reading this, I'm wondering if his wife is concerned with his masturbation at all, or if there's something that he's, you know, Tom, I'm wondering if there's something you're trying to like hide from it, or if you're feeling guilt or shame about maybe, I don't know. Like, I'm wondering if there's something else here, because I'm wondering why you're asking. Like, I feel like you love your wife. It sounds like you're having sex with her still. And if you're not seeing any negative repercussions,
yeah,
and it's because you're reading some stuff about it being, you know, I feel like it seems like you're handling it well.
I think that there's probably like a little bit of something. It might just be out of a place of curiosity, but yeah. I think it's the safest bet to say is that you're fine. Masturbation is great.
It's healthy. And it does increase. Yeah, it's all great for everyone. Men, women, do it when you're in a relationship.
Any site that condemns it completely, that's just crazy. I don't trust those sites.
Exactly.
You're alone in your bedroom. Who cares?
Right.
Don't tell anyone.
Okay. Okay, Tom. So I would say you're going to keep enjoying sex with your wife. Maybe she wants to watch porn with you. That could be a good time. Good couple porn watching. So yeah, Tom, don't trip on it. You got the right advice here.
Don't trip, potato chip. So can I read an email? I'd like to read
Jamie,
one.
Jamie, go read an email. I love it when you read an
email. Okay, so this one is coming to us from Sarah, who's 23 in North Carolina. She says, hi, Emily and Jamie. She didn't know I was going to be here for this.
She's so lucky.
I'm 23 years old, and when I was 19, I started masturbating because I had never had an orgasm. After achieving an orgasm on my own, using my imagination, etc., I began watching porn. For a while, I wasn't really into it because everything is so male-dominant and aggressive. Then I discovered lesbian porn.
Aww.
Ever since then, I've been super into it, and I watch it nearly every time I masturbate. I want to preface this by saying I have only ever been in heterosexual relationships and have never found the idea of being in a relationship with a woman appealing or been attracted to other women. I've been in a relationship with my current partner for nearly 3 years, and we have great sex. Does being into lesbian porn mean I'm subconsciously into women? I don't believe sexuality is black and white, but is it normal for straight women to fantasize about these sorts of things? And if so, how do I tell my partner about it, or should I even bother? Thanks so much, and I love your show. Can I preface before you start, Emily?
Yes, go.
I watched lesbian porn last night.
Yeah.
I think it's great because it's two women having a great time. And I can easily put myself into either position. So if there's a dominant one or a submissive one, I can be both of them.
Yes. And your experience with women?
I do find them attractive, but I just think that people are attractive mm-hmm. in general. And I mean, I think, but I've never like had a sexual experience right. with a woman. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be open to it, maybe.
But you identify as mostly heterosexual.
I'm mostly heterosexual. Right.
So the most common porn, Sarah, just so you know, that women watch is lesbian porn. That's true. Most common. So it's very, very common for women who have no desire in real life to be with women to find it very attractive and find very much turn on to watch lesbian porn. Because yeah, exactly the reasons. It's hot. It's sexy. I mean, you know, it's like, it's beautiful to see two women together. And we know what that would feel like. First of all, there's nothing wrong with you. Doesn't mean you want to be with women unless you do. And that would be great too. So as far as telling your partner about it, what you said, should I even bother? That makes it sound like, kind of gives it more of a negative. Like, should you bother? Like, meaning, like, I feel like there's nothing wrong with sharing with your partner what you find. I'm sure that your partner would think it was hot just to know that you fantasize. I think.
Yeah, people should share, even if it wasn't a lesbian fantasy or whatever, like a lesbian porn, whatever it is, you should share your fantasies if you want to. However, if you want to keep it to yourself, that's totally your...
Yeah, it's your prerogative. Yeah. It's your choice. It's your sexual choice. Hopefully you guys are talking about sex with your partner. I think a great conversation starter about sex with couples to say, like, what do you fantasize about? What do you think about? And of course, like Jamie said, there's those fantasies that you don't need to tell anybody about ever. And then there's some that you might want to share. You might want to actually do with your partner sometime. So be open, Sarah. I think it's great that you know what turns you on. That's what I got to say about that.
Yeah, and just because you bring it up doesn't mean that he's automatically going to be like, okay, let's have a threesome. Like, you can literally preface that you're like, this is just the porn that I watch, so don't get any crazy ideas if that's not what you're into.
Right, exactly. I wouldn't trip on it. Okay, good question. I think a lot of women, we've heard a lot of that over the years. You're fine. Okay, this is Miri. She's 28 from Newport, Kentucky. Hi, Emily. I've been with my partner for almost 10 years, and we enjoy broadening our sexual horizons together. He's recently confessed he wants to enact a fantasy where he is taken by force. I replied with, you mean like surprise sex? He explained how he wants to be tied up and taken advantage of, like spanking and a little rough play. I would love to help him, but since he wants to be surprised, he's not sharing his limitations with me. How can I take the next steps and create his fantasy in a safe way while respecting his desire for surprise? Having been together for a long time, I do know his bedroom dislikes and likes, but we haven't engaged in rough play. Tips on playful rough play would be so helpful. Can you share your ideas for how I should move forward? Thank you, Mary 28. Okay, so Mary, here's the deal. Love that you're so on board with your partner, but you need some more information. He can't just say, like, I want some rough play, go, come back in a day and be rough with me. Like, you got to give some more information here. So I think that that a little bit more, because what I'm hearing here is like a lot of questions we've got asked, or people get stumped with the, how do I start? Like, I know my partner wants me to talk dirty, but what's the first word I say? And he's like, I know he wants rough play, but what do I do? And I feel like this partner was so specific about his scenario. Like, taken by force and he wants to be tied up. And so he does know what he wants. And so I feel like this would be a great time for you guys to go to like, where is she? Newport, Kentucky. They could go shopping on the website together. They could go to a sex toy store and you could buy, like you could look at like, or watch some porn together, some bondage, and like he can kind of show you what might be hot to him.
Yeah.
And what he likes. We've got, I love Sport Sheets. They've got a great beginner bondage kit that you can get on our new spanking new store on our website, which is like Velcro. It's like foolproof. Like it's like you get the Velcro cuffs and you get the blindfolds and it's so easy to use. But again, anytime you're trying rough play, yeah, I mean, you got to start slow. You got to, like, I feel like I'm feeling her anxiety that she doesn't know what to do now rather than like, here's how you do rough. Like, I don't want to really, I don't feel like I can.
Well, this is the thing.
She's ready for even the tips right now, but we do have a ton of tips on our site. But go ahead, Jane.
We have blogs on our site about like how to gently introduce this. The thing is that just because he wants to be surprised doesn't mean he can't tell you his limitations beforehand. It doesn't have to happen the next time you guys have sex. It doesn't have to be this like outlined plan of exactly what he wants so that you follow it to the T. It's just you have to know, because like rough sex means a lot of things. Like, does he want to be choked?
Right.
Or does he just want it to, like, does he just want to be submissive? Like, what, you need to know these things. But if he really, really just wants to be surprised, or if you just want to get into it, I still think both, you know, I agree with Emily. You really do need to talk about it. But just start off slow. Start off slow and look at his reactions. Is he liking it? Is it going too far? Does it seem like he's into it? And also, I think blindfolds help with this a lot because that's going to heighten his senses. So you don't even have to be being that rough. But because he can't see anything, it's going to make it seem like it's a little bit more rough than it was.
Right.
Because
she wants him to be dominant, too. So he wants her to be dominant. So that is a very dominant role. Yeah. You're in control. You got the blindfold. Yeah.
And I think what would be an interesting thing, because you brought up Sport Sheets, which they do have a lot of great beginning bondage things. They have these under the bed restraints.
Oh, I love them.
And so the thing is you could be like making out on your bed or whatever, and you're on top of him. Good. And then when you're on top of him, you can just take the straps from under the bed and tie him up. And that's a surprise. Ooh, right there.
Jamie, that's so good. Right? Yes. I mean, they're such a surprise that I have them in my bed. I forget they're there. They're like, you can't, they're really like, they're lightweight and you put them around. Yeah. I don't even know how to explain it. They're like.
Yeah, because like who has a headboard anymore that you can attach things to?
You just right, you pull it out. It's like nylon strapped with Velcro on it, and the boom, he's handcuffed.
Exactly, and he's yours. He won't necessarily expect
that surprise. That's a good move. I like it. So I would get a little more information if this is making you anxious where to start. Check out our two blogs: two, how to gently introduce rough play in bed, and five rough sex tips for a naughty new year on the Sex Only website. We can put that in the show notes.
Yes, they will be in the show notes, so they will be easily located for you. And of course, because we always let people know when their question has been answered on the air.
I love that we do that. And I love you, Jane. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you too. I love being on the show. I think it's so fun that you give me that opportunity every once in a while.
Oh, I love it, Jane. It's so fun being here with you. And what a wonderful year. Thank you for everything, making Sex with Emily such a fun place to work. And successful year we've had. Thank you to my amazing team. Thank you to Lark and Ken and our interns Shannon and Jenny and Michael and just all the amazing listeners. I'm heading into our 13th year of Sex with Emily, and I have been, my whole team here, we have been plotting and planning, and we're creating a lot of cool stuff in 2018. Just watch out. I'm so excited, you guys. Thank you for listening, and you know, follow us in the 13th year because we are doing a lot of cool stuff with the shows and with everything we're doing. There's a lot of good information coming, and I can't wait for you guys to come along with us for the ride. So if you haven't entered our contest, Better Lover 2018, you can do that now. Just tell us how you want to be a better lover in 2018. We also have more information on our website. You have to enter by January 14th and just email us with Better Lover 2018 in the headline. I mean, in the whatever it's called, the headline.
Headline, subject, you know.
Subject, you guys know what I mean.
Put it at the top of the email.
Happy
basically.
New Year. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.